Welcome to Golf Better at Edwin Watts Golf, episode number 60. Hello, everyone. My name is Tom Purcell. Thank you so much for joining us. Whether you're a first-timer or a long-timer, we're glad you're with us. Sitting in with me, as he does each week, is technical specialist Kenny Nicholson. Kenny, how you doing?
I'm doing good, Tom. How are you today?
Not too bad for this time of year, and a big weekend in the Watts stores this weekend or all around the country with TaylorMade Weekend. We've got a special guest from TaylorMade with us.
Yeah, with the big promotional weekend we have going on with TaylorMade Golf, we figure a great time to get in one of their senior director of equipment and golf balls, Mr. Harry Arnett. Harry, how are you today?
Doing great. Thanks, guys. Really good to talk to you guys on the program today.
Hey, thanks for joining us. We're going to, you know, rack your brain a little bit with a bunch of questions that we have, as well as some of the listeners might have and want to know about some of the new products that are out there. I mean, you see it out there on tour week in and week out with some staff players. But there's some new things on the horizon that we're excited about. And one of the first things we wanted to touch on was the one of the hottest selling irons in the U.S. right now is the TaylorMade R9. Can you give us a little bit of insight on the design of that golf club and kind of compare it to what was before the R9, the burner iron?
Yeah, well, starting with the burner iron, which is the best-selling iron in the U.S. and has been for most of the summer and into the fall here, that iron was really all about taking a totally different look at how irons are developed and what golfers want from performance with irons. If you remember, or if you're familiar with the burner iron, the whole idea was that we didn't start with a 6-iron and develop irons around it. We actually individually engineered every iron to deliver a unique performance for that iron for whatever golfers want. So when you start with the long irons, those are really long, incredibly fast ball speeds, even on miss hits, really thin faces. Those are designed to help you hit the ball farther and hit more greens from long, you know, with your long irons, which really is what golfers want. As you move into the mid irons, heads get a little smaller, faces are still thin, but are getting a little bit thicker, so that you can get more control and consistency, but definitely still forgiving. And then once you get into the short irons, you don't really want all of that extreme distance in your short irons. You want something that's a lot more precise because those are your scoring clubs. So we engineered those a specific way too, that didn't that weren't constrained by the distance in the long irons. And then of course we were able to adjust the spec package so that they flowed nicely and gave that consistent distance gapping. And the result of that has been obviously that the golfers have responded extremely positively to that, and it's as I said, become the best-selling iron in the country and in most of the regions around the world. And we really wanted to take that approach and mentality of totally re-looking at irons for a different player type. To be honest with you, when we think of the burner brand and the burner franchise for drivers and for irons, it's all about getting extreme with the spec package and getting extreme with the cosmetics and really being more of a statement type piece, not just for playing, but definitely in the store on the rack. When you walk in and you see that burner iron, it looks so unique that you know, it really just screams that there's something different about this performance. Very visible, very some would say it's kind of flashy, but you know, it really just pays off in a visual what the iron's trying to do for you in your bag. Well, when we started talking about the R9 iron, we wanted to keep that design philosophy of performance, of ensuring that we were delivering improved performance for every iron throughout the bag, not just building around a 6-iron, for example. But for the player type we were going after for this iron is definitely more of your technician, more of a player type that is more interested in classic shapes, classic designs, more familiar shapes. It, definitely the tour type player, better players, but even players that really don't want to be presented with all of that technology in an obvious kind of way, and that's a lot more challenging in a lot of ways than the burner iron, where we didn't feel constrained by that, where we could make big pretty audacious long irons to hit the ball farther. We could make the soles a little bit thicker on those long irons. We could make the top line a little thicker. We could present some offset in the long irons for sure, because we really felt like that type of player wasn't gonna. That's not what was gonna be the most important to him. Was that elegant, more elegant shaping, more elegant traditional design. Well, when you talk about a classical or a technician type golfer, well, that's really important to him. And even more so in some cases, depending on the iron in the set, than just the true performance that the iron delivers. So we tried to deliver an iron and make an iron that was going to deliver radically different performance, but in a much more familiar classic package, and that's what R9 is all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's the term sleek and elegant works in golf. That's what it looks like. I mean, it's just an awesome-looking golf club. The one thing that's a little bit different, you might not see some of the visible technology that you've used in the past or some of the other manufacturers use. Does that mean that there's not much?
No, I mean, obviously that was what we were trying to accomplish was getting all of that technology into the golf club without a golfer necessarily seeing it, because we feel like that's the golfer that doesn't really want to see the undercut in the iron to give the unsupported face for more ball speed. He needs that performance and wants that performance, but doesn't want to see it because, you know, it's much more about the confidence that the iron gives that player when he sets it down behind the ball. So, yeah, like, if, for example, in the R9 iron, take the long irons, for example. Those are hollow long irons, which have a velocity control chamber is what we call it. And really what that means is we have more unsupported face in that iron, but the face of the iron actually wraps around the supporting structure so that you have that nice springy face for more ball speed. But we made it in a hollow iron because we didn't want to have a bunch of unsupported face and undercut showing to that golfer, because when he sets it down, he definitely wants more of a classic blade-like look. Now, if you can give him improved ball speed, improved distance, and improved consistency on miss hits, then that's a home run. But he doesn't want to be able to see that in his iron. So it was kind of a tricky proposition, because to do that, we had to totally re-engineer how we would make those long irons hollow. We added a bunch of ingredients to it so that we could get the feel right. So as you start getting those faces thinner, there are a lot of traditional type trade-offs that a golfer thinks that he has to make, such as sound, such as feel, such as consistency. Well, we cracked, obviously, the consistency part by giving consistent ball speeds, consistent spots around the face, so that the golfer doesn't have to worry about the so-called hot spot in the iron that maybe he felt like existed in the past with thin faces, where he could hit the ball 185 yards one time with his 5-iron, and then the next time he may hit the same exact shot that feels exactly the same to him that goes 10 yards farther. That's really important for a tour player, obviously, and they don't. That's a trade-off that they feel like they've had to make in the past. Well, we've conquered that by giving consistent ball speeds throughout the face, but also when you start making those faces thinner, obviously you get that sound. And if you remember the first time you ever played or demoed a CGB Max iron for us, for example, which up until that time, 4 years ago, was the thinnest face we ever had, it definitely has a louder sound to it as the faces get thinner. So we wanted to conquer that by adding ingredients to the badge design in the back and also in the inside, so that it still had that solid, firm, muted sound that people really want out of a golf club that's made for more of a discerning type player.
Harry, before we move on to the next topic, but one more on the irons. If I'm an R9 driver guy, or I'm a burner guy, are the R9 irons probably better fit for the R9 driver player?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, it really just depends. The reason that we fit it into the R9 family is when we think of the R9 or R as a sub-brand, if you will, or as a brand in golf, one of the iconic brands in golf, it really stands for so many things. And for some people, that stands for adjustability. So when we introduced the R7 irons a couple years ago, a lot of people were wondering, does that mean that you have some sort of adjustability to it? But ultimately, when we think of that that iconic brand, we really think of classic, tour-driven, controlling your golf ball, definitely consistency, and really no imperfection with the art and the performance. And that's how the R really fits underneath there. You'll see some guys obviously mix and match and play a burner driver and an R9 iron, for example, but the two visual presentations are so different that we think by and large, yeah, you'll get probably more people migrating to one brand or the other, but not all the time.
Harry Arnett joining us, the Senior Director of Equipment and Golf Balls for TaylorMade Adidas Golf. Hey, let's talk about an old friend, Harry, the Railer. Let's talk about the Railer, because, I mean, that nothing getting it out of the rough like a Railer. What makes it so good at that?
It's like your friendly uncle returning home.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah. We've the best thing about working at a golf company is that you kind of can dream, and with the rapid prototyping and CAD design skills that our guys, our engineers have, is you can kind of get any golf club you want when you work here, and you don't have to worry about whether or not someone's actually going to sell it or go into the golf shop. And that's one of the most fun things about working at TaylorMade is everyone here is loves the game of golf and is out playing. And this the Railer is a club that the old Railer is a club that we talk about a lot, and you see it in a lot of offices here, not necessarily getting played a lot, because if you see that club today, which is it's really amazing how advanced that kind of golf club, and particularly utility clubs and rescue clubs, for sure have gotten. But one of the great things about the old Railer was once you got into a tricky situation in the rough or in a bunker or something that typically would leave you really, really defensive, the Railer lets you get out of that, not just chop it out or go sideways or muscle it out. It really let you swing freely and explode that ball out of the rough. And we were kind of, about a year ago, we were talking about how really that part of the game, or a true specialty type club, really has disappeared from the marketplace. There really hasn't been anything like that in 10 or 15 years. So we were toying around with the idea, working with tour players. We knew that we'd have need for that on some of the tour venues this year as the fairways get pinched in and rough gets deeper, and U.S. Open is an obvious case of that. But we really thought that there would be a need for it on tour, and definitely out in the general public, particularly with the state of golf today, that a lot of clubs weren't going to be spending as much money cutting roughs during the week. But we knew that even for the average golfer, those roughs are going to be getting higher and higher, and courses are going to be getting tougher and tougher as a lot of the golf course community out there is looking for ways to save costs. Who isn't these days? So we started thinking about what if we had a true specialty club again for the market, and what we decided, what that really meant is kind of counter to how rescue clubs or any other utility type clubs in the marketplace have evolved. So we went to a much more compact head. We went with a traditional, a little bit longer than a traditional rescue club, because really it's all about getting ball speed out of the rough. And then the design of the club, we went with that familiar kind of ship's hull on the bottom of it, that keeled sole that gets the center of gravity of that golf club even lower than the leading edge typically has been. So the end result is you're going to get the club into the rough. It's going to go through the rough faster, and the ball is going to come out hotter and faster. So when you hit a ball, I know you guys don't miss fairways, but
I wish.
If you miss a fairway, and typically you chop out, and out here in the San Diego area, we play at Torrey Pines quite a bit, and it's brutal. If you guys remember the U.S. Open there, you hit it in the rough, you're just chopping out. Well, now you can take your Railer club and hit a ball out of a lie you never thought you could, 180, 200 yards down the fairway, because it's getting into the rough faster and the ball is flying out hotter.
Yeah, I think that that's, you know, railers have been around for a long, long time and then kind of died off, and then they resurrected again. And I've said it before, you know, one of my buddies got one from me and said, this thing's so easy to hit, it should be called cheating. You know, what in the elements of the railer, what design makes it so good at getting the ball out of the rough? Is it that keeled hole type bottom sole on it, or?
It is. That's part of it. It's really the whole package. It's the head is more compact than a typical rescue club is, and then that keeled sole really carves through the rough very very easily and very quickly. So it doesn't get caught up in the tall grass or in those bad lies like an iron for sure, and like a modern rescue club does. So those two things coupled with a little bit longer shaft that helps you get more speed coming into the ball, and the ball just jumps out of lies that you never would see a ball jump out of.
Harry Arnett joining us from TaylorMade. Harry, let's go to the ball, move on to that. But I guess the first thing is a pro will tinker with irons. He'll tinker with a driver on a range, but you can't get him to change a ball. Why is it so hard or why do they rarely change the ball they're playing?
It's one of those products in a pro's bag, just like a putter for most guys, that they really, once they figure out how a ball is going to perform, how it's going to react, they really don't want to change that, because once they start changing that, they have to make compensations with their golf swing. They lose confidence. And on the PGA Tour, confidence and knowing exactly how a ball is going to react every time is the difference between being one of the best players in the world and being a guy fighting for his card. And so typically when tour players get a ball that they like, it stays in their bag until you can give them something that dramatically outperforms what they had before. And dramatically to them sometimes doesn't even mean being able to show it on a launch monitor or with data. They have to feel it, they have to see it, and ultimately they have to believe it for them to switch out. And even then sometimes it takes a long time because they don't want to make that kind of compensation during times when they're trying to earn checks. So it's really tough one to crack when you come with a new golf ball. And you can see that if you look on the PGA Tour. A lot of guys are playing golf balls that were introduced to the market 5-6 years ago. They're not playing the current models. They're playing different, older models of the existing golf balls. And the reason is it doesn't have anything to do with the fact that golf balls aren't getting better. It's just, if you deliver another yard off of a tee to a tour player, that's not that meaningful, really. It has to truly outperform in all areas of the game or a specific area of the game, even that the player's looking for him to switch.
Just talking about that, how long does a pro typically test a golf ball before he puts it into play? I mean, we've talked to pros in the past, and it seems like it's a daunting task for them to do this. What do you guys see on your end?
Well, it's really dependent. It can take as long. When we first launched our TP golf ball, relaunching the TaylorMade brand in golf balls in 97 or 2007, 2006, one of the big things that getting Sergio to play our ball, and he was he's one of the toughest, and it took more than a year for Sergio to finally say, all right, yes, you have a ball that is worthy of being in my bag. So you kind of get the extremes, like a Sergio that takes a year or two to move into a ball, to some guys it can take two or three months of working with it, practicing before they finally make that transition. So but it does take a lot longer than a set of irons or a driver or something, or some of the guys that switch out putters that just want a different look. There aren't any guys that want a different look with golf ball. They all kind of look the same, and that's part of the problem. So it can take a year or two, or at minimum it can take 2 or 3 months really for a player to work through a ball enough times and hit enough shots that he's going to feel comfortable making that switch.
And that makes the 1980s seem even more amazing, when those guys were putting orange balls and yellow balls into play.
Yeah.
And to do that, that would be radical. Hey, let's talk about the Penta TP ball. Can you talk about who's playing it and what kind of success they're having?
Yeah, I mean, that's really getting back to how long it takes. when we started testing our new golf ball that'll be in stores here in the next month or so, for next year, really, we started back in the discussion a long time ago, but when we first started having prototypes for these guys was back in around the Memorial, so like late May, early June, and we knew that our what we had done with this ball, with the five layers, the first five-layer tour ball in golf was really a breakthrough, not just for us, but for golfers everywhere, because we immediately started seeing tour players saying that they would play the ball immediately after just a couple hours of testing. And we officially launched the ball, Tom, back in August at the week after the PGA Championship. We actually had Sergio and Retief playing it the first time it was available at the PGA, but we only had enough balls to service those guys. So they put it in play immediately, and they've been playing it since August. And then as we started to get it out on tour, we've got the just about every one of our tour players has made the switch this fall. So Retief, Sergio, Justin Rose, Jason Day, Sean O'Hare, all of the guys all the guys that are TaylorMade golf ball players have switched into our new ball.
Harry, how about John Q Public or John Average Golfers? Will the ball be a good fit? Is it too much of a ball for them?
Yeah, well, that was another thing that we feel like should be really exciting for golfers out there, is because of the five layers, we've actually, where if you think of even our brand with TP Red and TP Black, before having to have two different types of golf ball depending on what you wanted and how you played, whether it was more spin or less spin or what have you, the great thing about the Penta ball is that it really does fit every player, because the conventional golf ball wisdom and construction is you really have to compress the ball to get the speed, to get the most speed out of it. Well, that's kind of the opposite of the Penta ball, because the fastest layers of the Penta ball are actually on the outside, and the softest layers are on the inside. The core of this golf ball is only 60 compression, which is really soft. That helps deliver some of that that spin around the greens for sure. And so if you're a lower 80 to 95 type swing speed player, which by the way is most everybody, you're going to get the maximum speed out of this golf ball because the fastest layers are on the outside. You don't have to get to the core to get the ball speed, where on other balls you would have to get all the way into the core in order for you to get the benefit. So for that player that's 85 to 95 or even less, if you can just get to the first or second layer, you're going to get the maximum distance allowable by the USGA out of this golf ball. And with our soft urethane, you're going to get all the spin that you want. So you don't have to make that trade-off anymore of playing a firm, low-spin ball off the tee that is not going to spin for you out of around the green. So, and most of the players that are playing tour balls are missing a lot of greens, and I'm talking about amateurs now, and so you need that spin as well as the distance. So it'll work for the 85 mile per hour guy swing speed as much as it will for the 120 mile per hour swing speed guy like Sergio.
Harry, man, we really appreciate you joining us. And again, big weekend this weekend in all the Watts stores, TaylorMade days this coming weekend.
Yeah, we're excited. Every weekend's a big weekend at Watts, of course, but we're always excited when we're showcased with our own weekend in the store. And when you come in, you'll expect everything you expect from us, which is the best performance golf equipment in the world, and with the most knowledgeable staff in golf.
And also, don't forget, if you want to take a look at some of these products, you can go to our website, evanwattsgolf.com, as well as taylormadegolf.com. But you have to take a look at especially the new iron and the railer, and see what we're talking about, this elegance, this sleek look and design. And if you're a traditionalist, you're going to fall in love with it. So, Harry, thanks a million for joining us today. Any way I can beg a dozen golf balls out of you for a lucky listener?
Okay, we'll see if we can get some to you. We should have those available for one of your listeners. Let's do it.
Thanks so much for your time.
Harry, thanks, man.
If you guys see anything else, let me know.
You got it. Thanks a million.
Well, balls for a lucky listener, the new Penta TP balls. Make sure you're registered. Tell them where to go to do that, Kenny, because it's on our website.
Yeah, it's on our website. Just go to edwinwattsgolf.com, and on the left-hand side, you'll see an e-spot that says Golf Better Podcast. Just click on that link. There you can listen to all of the past shows as well as this one. And there is a register to win button. Simply click on that button and fill out the required information that we would like to get from you. And a lucky listener is going to win a dozen of the new Penta TP golf balls. I mean, I've sampled them. It's a great golf ball, as well as the other products. Seriously, I mean, do yourself a treat. Look at them. These new R9 irons.
I want to hit the railer.
I tell you what, talking about the railer, it's a smaller, sleeker look than the Rescue. But as far as playability-wise, we always talk about Rescues and railers being used in the rough. If you've never tried it, you don't know what we're talking about. But you got to give yourself a chance to go out there. I mean, put the thing down deep in the rough, and you'll see what we're talking about, how easy the ball comes out with a lot of air, and instead of trying to hit it with a 3, 4, or 5 iron where the grass just wraps around the hosel of the club and you hit a low duck hook. You know, so if you haven't tried one, you're missing out.
Hey, Kenny, thanks so much for joining us. Hope you guys have a happy Thanksgiving. Big plans?
I've got family around, so I'll take my daughters and go visit with the family and just enjoy some quality time with them.
And to you listeners out there, happy Thanksgiving to you as well. Tune back in a couple weeks when we have another exciting episode of Golf Better at edwinwattsgolf.com. So long, everyone.